Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. I've been a very busy morning. And now in studio, we have with us James Coover and Barbara Ames from the K-State Extension Offices. It's time for Greenside Up. Good morning, guys. How are you doing today? It's good to have you guys in studio and instead of having to be on the phone. We've been back in studio for, I think, about a month now. So it's a lot better when you guys are in studio. It ends up being more conversational. So exactly. And it's good to have you back in studio. I think this is your first time back in studio since the shutdown. So but it's good to have you guys back in studio today. So we'll go ahead and get started with you first, Barbara. And it looks like you do have a few things that you do want to talk about before we get started on your main subject, correct?
Well, my main subject is my Dining with Diabetes class. I'm excited to say that we are being able to offer that online at this point. We actually started that process back before COVID because we just have so many people that have diabetes. It is the eighth leading cause of death in Kansas, so it is a major health issue, and we're really excited to be able to offer it online now, so there's no social distancing or mask wearing or issues with transportation or anything like that. You can access the course from the comfort of your own home. So the class does start August the 17th, and it lasts for 4 weeks, initially through September the 14th, and then we'll come back in 3 months and offer another module. But the way it works is kind of like the face-to-face classes. You get access to a new module each week for 4 weeks, and that allows you to go through the material at your own rate of speed and just learn things as you go and start implementing them into your life. Because, you know, it's hard to learn a bunch of stuff at one time and try to change everything at once. So this just gives you bits and pieces of things that you can set goals and just can learn as you go. So we're excited to be able to offer that to people.
And it looks like you said, the dates are from August 17th until September 14th. But it looks like that you have to register by Monday, correct?
Right. We'd like to have registrations by August the 10th. And you do register online. There is a $25 registration fee. You register online and pay online. And then you'll get an email that tells you about access to the course and things like that. We will be learning things like how diabetes affects your body, you know, and then learning from there how to manage that. We'll be learning how to plan meals and snacks. You'll be given access to helpful fact sheets, informational handouts, and things that you can download, as well as recipes. You'll be getting access to, I think, almost 40 different recipes in the class. And we have some videos that some of our agents have done that show how you can prepare those. Just they're real easy and simple to do. We don't get to taste them like we do in the face-to-face class, but at least you can see how they're prepared and you have access to the recipes. And you will have access to discussion and ask questions to your instructor and things like that. And we will have certified diabetes educators that we can contact if we get questions that are, more clinical like that, they can answer for you.
So again, that's going to be dying with diabetes. My mom has diabetes, so she obviously, and I'm afraid I'm going to get it too. Doesn't matter because it runs throughout my family. But that doesn't mean anything. It means all you got to do is just be able to know what to eat and kind of keep it under control. Correct?
Well, that's right. And we do. The class is basically geared toward people with type 2 diabetes. It's also great for people that have been told they have pre-diabetes, or like you said, if it runs in your family, there are things that you can do so you won't get it. You know, if you start right now eating the right things and making sure you get plenty of physical activity, your chances of getting it are a lot, lot less. So people that have been told they're pre-diabetic, we encourage them to come to the class, or just anyone who's interested in learning more about nutrition and managing diabetes. It's a great class. I've had people who've been in our previous classes say it actually just changed their life in a positive way. and help them learn to manage the diabetes.
And probably feel a lot better as well, too.
So, right.
You definitely feel that difference for sure.
And often we have people come in who are newly diagnosed, and they're just overwhelmed to the point of tears sometimes because it's an overwhelming diagnosis. And it, you know, they feel like they can't eat anything ever again, and you know, and it's not really quite that bad. You just have to know what to eat and the amount to eat and get that physical activity in there. So it can be really helpful to a lot of people, and we're glad to be able to offer it online now.
Absolutely. So again, that's going to be August 17th through the 14th. You'll be able to access the course at your convenience because, again, it'll be online. But you got to register by August 10th, which is next Monday. So be sure to, if you're wanting to do the Dining with Diabetes, be sure to get that registered for that. And again, like you said, once you're registered, though, once it starts on the 17th, you can access the courses at any time during this time. Correct?
Right. You get access to a new module each week for 4 weeks, and then 3 months out you'll get the fifth one.
And the cost is $25. And is it still so they want you to register as much as possible, but it does say class size is limited, though. Is there a certain amount of people that can register for it?
Right. We're allowing, I think it's 15 people into this first class. This is the first public offering of our Dining with Diabetes Online. Our statewide net Dining with Diabetes working group has been working on this for since January, I think, and this is kind of our very first offering, and then we'll do some tweaking after that, and then it'll open up more to the whole public. So,
all right. So again, that's Dining with Diabetes, and we'll have more information on that in a little bit. And one more thing I do want to go over real quick here is coming up on August 15th, which is it's about a week and a half from now, the pickle party that will be at the Oswego Community Center. And again, you'll be there for that one, it looks like.
Yes.
And can you just tell us, and James is going to be there as well. Let us know what is going to go on at the pickle party.
Yeah, so the pickle party, basically we're gonna make all things pickles, and so we're gonna do pickled peppers, we're gonna do some just regular bread and butter pickles, some fermented pickles, kind of a little bit fermented pickles, not all the way, but we're also going to talk about fermentation too. And so it takes a little bit too long to actually make it, but we're going to talk about making sauerkraut and seeing the process and the various other fermented foods. And so it's not only just pickles, but also fermentation as well. And we're going to be, of course, this is a hands-on workshop. So we're going to be actually in there doing this in the Oswego Community Center kitchen there. But we're, of course, going to talk about the health and nutrition part of it. We're going to be talking about the food safety part of it, then the canning process. And so this is really kind of an all-encompassing part of the pickling process.
Yep. So that's my part. We talk about food safety as far as canning and in the canning process. So that'll be the part that I'm working on, and excited to be a part of the pickle party.
And it's going to be a lot of fun. Again, that's going to be on August 15th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Oswego Community Center, 203 North Street in Oswego. And is Peter going to be there for a Peter Piper pickled pepper? I can't
we
say
it. We are going to pickle some pickled peppers, yes.
I've always tried to say that, and I can never get it out correctly.
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers.
Thank you, Barbara. You got that for me. I will not attempt that again. All right.
You almost had it.
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers.
Got it.
Yes, I got
good
it.
Job.
I just remember Peter Piper pizza. So anyway, all right. Well, James, we'll go ahead and hand on over to you, and we'll find out. What are you discussing today, sir?
Well, after the break, I'm going to talk a little bit about just a menagerie of agricultural things. Mostly going to talk about wheat varieties and alfalfa variety selection, because although it's August, September is not far away, and that's when we really start to get things ready for that. The next planting season, even though we're still in the middle of the current growing season, we still got a lot of stuff to plan for. And so, but when it comes to, you know, the canning and the pickling that we're going to talk about, the pickling process, there's a lot of myths, and I'm sure Barbara can talk a lot more about this than I can, that go on with the canning and process. And it's all over the internet. The internet was it's a terrible source sometimes for good information and sometimes not safe information.
That's for sure.
Yeah, they could be misinformation out there for sure. You can't believe everything you read on the internet.
And just because you read it on a website that looks pretty does not mean it's official by any means. And so some common canning myths are that you don't always need to hot bath or can something. There's various ways, and I'm sure Barbara can talk about this. Like, there's some ideas that you can, there's a few different ways. I've seen some stuff where they think that you can flip cans upside down, and that's good enough for the canning to happen. I don't understand why that would be. I mean, the microbes don't stop because they are upside down.
It's like, oh, and we're so, upside down now. We're not going to do anything now.
Maybe they put hot stuff in there, and then when they tip it over, they think the heat reaches the seal or something. And I'm not sure, but definitely that's not a process that we want to do. As you're saying, James, we want to make sure that we use tested recipes and appropriate canning processes. And our guru at K-State, Karen Blakesley, always says, just because it seals doesn't mean it's safe. So even if you do get a seal on there, that doesn't necessarily mean it's safe. We need to make sure that the contents of those jars get hot enough right at the very center of them. They have to get hot enough to kill the bacteria that's in there.
Yeah.
And with high acid foods like fruits and things that have been acidified, like tomatoes, you'll always want to acidify. And those pickles are going to have vinegar and stuff in them that acidify them. We can process those in a boiling water bath canner that takes it up to 212 degrees, which is boiling. And that will kill. And they have to be processed for the certain amount of time, though, depending on the size of jar and what's in there, so that it gets to the center and kills that bacteria. But things that are low acid, like your vegetables and meats, those types of things, we have to add pressure because they have to get up to 240 degrees to make sure, into the center of that jar, to make sure that botulism is not present in there, which is a deadly thing. So we want to, the only way to get up to 240 degrees is add pressure to it because water boils at 212. So to get it on up there, we add the pressure. So that's kind of the beginning of it. And then as James was saying, things like open kettle canning, canning in the oven, canning in the dishwasher. There are things on the internet that say, oh, you can, you know, put it in the oven, or you can can it in the dishwasher, or the open kettle method, I think, is where you pour it into the jars and you put on the lid and the ring, and then you just hope it's, you know, if it seals, you think it's okay, but it isn't.
The jar is hot enough. You can't make a jar hot enough.
Right.
I mean, if you make it hot enough, it usually cracks or shatters because it will shatter at some point.
It needs to be done after it's already inside and sealed because and ready to be put into something.
Bacteria and yeast and mold can grow in there and spoil the food. And sometimes people try just to set it out in the sun and they think that's going to make it hot enough. Yeah. No, it needs to be either boiling water bath canned or pressure canned according to what you're canning.
Yeah. And you can't always make substitutions in recipes as well. And so
that's
like she was saying, that it's either got to be acidic enough. Sometimes it can be like sugary enough, right?
With jams and things, yes, the sugar content helps.
Yeah, and so you can't always just take something out and put something back in because it hasn't been tested, that you're throwing off the balance somehow.
The reason partly is because of the consistency of it, the thickness of it. When they test the recipes, they have ways to have a probe into the center of that jar, and they know how long it takes a certain consistency to get to the right temperature to kill the bacteria. And so if you change the recipe, maybe the consistency changes, the thickness of the what's in the jar changes, and so it may not get to the right temperature quickly enough to kill the bacteria.
So again, be sure to do it correctly. I mean, it's like I said, don't go to the websites and think, oh, this looks pretty. They must know what they're talking about. You really want to know. And I guess I would say that you guys probably have some of this information. Do you guys have some of this information like on your website? Or
we do.
Where people can check it out?
We do. If you look under food and family, we have a link to food preservation. And we have some information on our own site, but then we'll link you to our K-State site, our Rapid Response Center for Food Preservation, and you'll get some of this information. And just over and over, use a tested recipe, follow it exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't make any changes, because then that kind of, like James said, that kind of throws off everything.
Right.
So
exactly.
Do it exactly as it says. Don't make any changes.
This is true.
All right. Well, we are getting pretty close to having to come up to a break. But again, we'll have more with James and Barbara on the other side of the break at around again at 8:10. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this absolutely beautiful hump day. Welcome back, everybody, to Greenside Up right here on the Mighty 690 KGGF. Back in studio with us is James Coover and Barbara Ames. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right. We are on the second half of our show this morning, and we'll completely change topics here just for a few moments, and then we'll get back to, of course, with Barbara. We'll talk once again, talk about the Dining with Diabetes, but we'll get to that here in just a little bit. But first of all, James, we're going to start with you on this segment. And you're wanting to talk about different types of, wanting to talk about alfalfa and stuff like that, correct?
Yes. Before I forget, though, I do need to mention, Jesse told me to talk about the seeds that were coming from China. They had the Chinese writing. I need to mention that. So, first of all, I thought it was mostly just kind of media hype. It really wasn't that big of a deal. But someone in the area actually got a little bag of these seeds. And so they are around. They are coming in from here and there. And so if you do get one of these odd bags of seeds with Chinese writing on it, you don't know where they came from. Honestly, any weird bag of seeds, you should really... there's kind of a process that you need to follow. Of course, you can call your extension office to kind of get what that is. Take that little bag that you get and put it into another Ziploc bag. And so double bag them. And then we'll probably direct you to send it to the USDA. It's the APIHS, the Animal Plant Health Inspection Service at the USDA. And so we'll mail it off to them. These seeds are probably nothing dangerous. We don't know that they are. They might be something unimportant or not invasive at all. We just don't know. So we just need to be careful with those seeds. So if you do get one of these, let us know, give extension office a call, send it off to the USDA. They'll figure out what these things are. It could be nothing, but we really don't want a bunch of weird invasive seeds running around either.
Right.
So, yeah.
Better safe than sorry. Better
and
safe.
Especially since they're just coming unsolicited pretty much.
Yeah.
It's just how they're just popping up and you're just like, what is going on here? But like you said, better safe than sorry. It could be nothing harmful, better safe than sorry, because if you plant that and it could be a terribly invasive plant or something like that that could just ravage basically your yard or wherever you're at and could just move out, that would not be a good thing for sure.
We've got plenty enough invasive species already. we don't really need any more. We've got plenty. So
let's try to keep it down to a low roar there, guys. So anyway, about those seeds, I've been seeing that going around on the news, and like you're saying, just basically double bag it up, send it off to the FDA, I think you said, and or I guess could they bring it to you guys and you guys could send it off for them?
Could probably send it off. Just make sure that when you get it, to kind of put it in some packaging so that, you know, what they come in isn't very, it's just a weak little plastic bag. Mm-hmm. And so put it in some other plastic bags that are stronger. So
absolutely. So but let's go ahead and get started with what you were wanting to talk about this morning.
James. So some intentionally planted seeds, alfalfa and wheat variety. And it seems early, being in the beginning of August, to kind of talk about this stuff, but there's so much planning you got to get done beforehand. It's not a bad idea to start thinking about this stuff now.
Yeah, September will be here before you know it.
Yes,
I mean,
I mean,
July moved quick.
Yeah, and so, I mean, the alfalfa, and even, like, your food plots, if you're a hunter who likes to plant food plots, a lot of those are planted in September, or even cover crops. And so, that's a month away, a little over a month away, that this stuff will be done. And but before you do all that, A, you need to pick your variety. And also, you need to get your soil ready, or at least know what you're going to do with your soil. And so those are kind of the two things that you can focus on in August. With wheat varieties, usually farmers just kind of plant what they've always planted. They kind of go back, what we call a bin run, is just seeds that they have in their bin, if they're not somehow protected by copyrights or whatever, they can just plant what they already have. But with that, which is perfectly fine, just make sure that you know what it is you're planting. It's not a bad idea to go ahead and treat those seeds, basically mix them in with the fungicides yourself, so that way those seeds are protected. And there's a coatings of various assortments that you get when you buy it from a seed dealer, but if you're going to plant it from your bin, you kind of need some of those seed coatings do yourself. If you have no idea the germination or the strength of those seeds, it's not a bad idea to send them off to the seed testing lab, the KCIA, at K-State, and they will basically tell you the germination, the accelerated aging, what we call the stress test, and also we can count the seeds per pound. There's a bunch of other tests that we can do on those seeds. You don't want to plant a whole field and have hardly anything come up because it's old seed that's been burnt up and most of the seeds they're not doing well anymore. Most of them have died. And that's, it's just a little bit of preemptive things that you need to do. I would wait a little bit before we send those seeds off, but we'll need at least 2 weeks before planting because those tests take a little while to do. So towards the beginning of September for the wheat seeds, bring in a sample if you're not sure out of the bin, and that way we can actually get them ready. For the alfalfa, that's another thing you kind of need to be choosing your varieties for. And there's, back in the day, we didn't really have a whole lot of alfalfa varieties, but now we do. We have all kinds of different varieties and new technologies that we can incorporate that a lot of people don't. And so with the alfalfa varieties, just kind of look around and I would say when it comes to alfalfa seed varieties, it's not a bad idea to maybe spend a little more and get some good genetics, because that's something that's going to be around in your field for 4 or 5 years. And so it's a good idea to spend a little more now and get something good than spend all that time later on.
Yeah, spend a little bit more money to get some quality product instead of spending less and getting something that may not be as good.
Yes, yeah. And the same thing with the wheat varieties. Like, there's all kinds of varieties. We got some brand new ones out of K-State. There's some out of Oklahoma. And, of course, you know, a lot of the other companies, like the private companies, they have some new varieties as well. You know, change it up sometimes. Get some new varieties, test them out. If you don't want to plant the whole thing, just get some ideas. So that way we get some more genetics into the mix here. There's all sorts of disease resistances and diseases in wheat. So just continuing on in that process is not a bad idea. So besides variety selection, though, we also need to get the soil ready. And when it comes to alfalfa, especially, wheat is a little bit sensitive to pH. Alfalfa is very sensitive to soil pH. And we have very acidic soils around here. And so I know I've mentioned this in the past on the show, is to make sure that you test your soil for pH is probably the primary thing. The other thing, especially when it comes to alfalfa, is testing for potassium and phosphorus, because you can't alter those things very well after you've already planted. You can kind of alter potassium a little bit, but it's not very easy. So we need to make sure our soil is completely ready before planting when it comes to alfalfa. And the same thing with wheat. There's not a whole lot of money in wheat anymore, so we kind of have a little bit of focus on this, on inputs when it comes to wheat. But still, we still need to know what we're planting that stuff into. And so it's really, it's really kind of the beginning of the time when we need to get out there and start sampling fields, and I need to do some of this myself, and getting ready for what's to come. So
basically do some pre-planning pretty much, yes. Which is never a bad thing. And just a question, because this is always kind of, you know, I've always wondered about this. What is it with, I mean, wheat is still really important, obviously, for, you know, for food. But what has made it go down to where it's just not very, you can't get a lot of money off of it anymore? What has caused that?
That's a whole thing of external factors and markets. And I mean, so the wheat export is different from the soybean and corn export. Mm-hmm. Wheat export is exported everywhere in the world. I mean, we send a lot of wheat to the Middle East, to Egypt. We send some wheat to Europe. Mexico is probably our biggest importer, I believe. And so because of that proliferation of the market, it's sensitive to various factors. And there's a lot of people that produce wheat. So Europe produces a lot of wheat. Russia produces the most wheat. And so we're not the biggest player when it comes to the wheat
market. So it's competition is what's kind of done it.
Yes, yes. It's competition. It's just markets, honestly. Around here, though, we're kind of in an odd spot in Kansas where we can plant soft wheat. Most of the wheat in Kansas is hard, but we can plant soft wheat. And right now there's actually a little bit, it's got a better profit margin. It's got a better market on it. And so I would highly suggest that farmers around here, and they are, start kind of questioning whether they can actually plant some soft wheat instead. At least try it. One thing about planting soft wheat is you got to be ready for who you're going to sell it to, because you can't just take it to the regular co-op because they don't have a bin for it. I mean, you got to know where you're going to take it.
Right.
Talk to your co-op guy or whoever it is that you plan to sell it to. And perhaps maybe some bins, other bins around here can be freed up for the soft market. I think that it's going to start proliferating farther into this area because there are better margins on it right now. That doesn't mean that it's going to stay better margins, but right now they're looking better.
People will start looking into it maybe. So again, I'd always wondered about that. Again, it's basically like you said, it's competition. It's just kind of hurts a little bit sometimes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Barbara, we're going to come back to you for just a few moments, and maybe somebody that is just now tuning in. We're wanting to let everybody know about Dining with Diabetes, correct?
Right. We're offering our Dining with Diabetes 4-week course online right now. You can register for that by going to a website where you're going to register and pay your fee there. And so if you're interested in that, you can go to our Wildcat District website and check under coming events to look at the flyer and get that website, or call our office at 620-331-2690, and we can give you information about the course and how to get registered for it. And we would like to have registrations by August the 10th, which is coming up right away. So
yep, coming up very, very soon. In fact, next Monday. So you got less than a week to register for that. Cost only $25. Not bad at all. Class size is limited, though. And the best part about this is that you can learn at your own leisure, correct?
That's right. Access it from your own home. No social distancing or masks or anything like that. And it's great information if you have questions about how to manage type 2 diabetes, or if you are a caregiver or a spouse, or, you know, if you've been told you have pre-diabetes, lots of great information about meal planning and just different things to manage diabetes, carb counting and what foods have a lot of carbohydrates and all that kind of stuff.
I never even thought about that. That's really good for somebody who is a caretaker or something like that, that
right.
may have somebody in their care that has diabetes, and this would be perfect for those kind of people. I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about ourselves, you know?
Right.
So that'd be a great plan to look at that. Another thing, of course, you guys, both of you guys will be there along with Tyler Johnson. He'll be there as well, as you guys will be hosting the Pickle Party in Oswego coming up about a week and a half from now.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. The Pickle Party, August the 15th from 1 to 4. It's going to be a fun time. We're going to be talking about, of course, safety and health and all of that. But also, we're going to be hands-on making some pickles. We're going to do pickled peppers. We're going to do some bread and butter pickles, some various other types of things.
Maybe watermelon rind or something like that.
Yeah, watermelon rind, some odd pickles, maybe not quite pickles. It'll just be fun. And if you're interested in coming to this, just give us a call at the Altamont office. Will be the easiest. The number there is 620-784-5337. Or just let us know. Call one of the offices, and it should be a fun time. So.
And cost is only $10 for it, cash or check payable at the door, as you said. Be sure to give them a call. Face mask and gloves will be provided for food safety and COVID protocol as well, because obviously, even though it's the pickle party, still got to practice some of that social distancing and wearing the masks. But it's still going to be a lot of fun, though. I mean, a party is always fun. So
right. That's
so,
right.
Again, that is going to be not this Saturday, but next Saturday. So still plenty of time to register for that. How late can you register for that?
As long as the class doesn't fill up, I mean, really, you can register till the day before, honestly. but there's this limited space, and
right.
I mean, we can only fit so many people in that kitchen. So,
right.
So
with social distancing, we have to limit it.
So
yes.
Register now if you want to go to that, so you can get in on that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Again, as Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers.
Good job.
Yes, I got
you
it right.
Did it.
All right.
One thing I could add just really quick.
Okay.
If people are going to be doing pressure canning with a dial gauge canner, we can test your canner gauge. It's a good idea to have that tested every year. And we have our tester calibrated and ready to go, and we can test those free of charge at any of our Wildcat District offices. The doors are closed right now, so you can just call ahead and we can let you in and get that tested for
basically
you.
Kind of set of an appointment right now. So
right.
And that's how you guys are meeting right now, but just strictly by appointment right now?
Opening up a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, you can kind of show up sometimes. Just knock on the door and we'll answer.
Well, yeah. It's not like you're going to look and go, get going,
yeah,
go away.
Yeah.
That's not what you're going to do. Obviously, but it does help to set an appointment that way. That you know that you guys are expecting them.
Yeah,
so
we're always running around too, so you got to make sure that we're there.
Exactly. Yeah, you guys are out and about quite a bit. Well, guys, I appreciate you coming in today. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you.
All right, James Coover and Barbara Ames from the K-State Extension offices. It's always a pleasure to talk to them. We're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we're going to start Open Line. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this hump day.